Now we're holding on page Samach Ches in Rosh Hashanah, Ois Ches. We actually started Ois Ches the other day, but we may as well go over and start it and start from and start it again. Amar Reb Krusbadoi, Amar Reb Yochanan, Shlosha Sfarim Niftachim B'Rosh Hashanah. Three books are open in front of Hashem on Rosh Hashanah. Echad Shal Tzadikim Gmorim, Ve'echad Shal Rishoyim Gmorim, Ve'echad Shal Benim. So you have three books, one for the Tzadikim Gmorim, one for the Rishoyim Gmorim, and one for the Benim. Shal Tzadikim Gmorim, the one of the tzaddikim gemurim is the people in there are written and sealed right away l'chaim for life, and this is why since we don't want to assume, like we talked about the other day, we don't want to assume that a fellow yid is in anything other than that sefer, which is why we only say l'shana tov t'kasev v'sechosim the first night of Rosh Hashanah, and after that we say gemach simatov or other such things like that as we go throughout the month of Tishrei, because we don't want to assume that his chasima should have to be postponed any time after the first day of Rosh Hashanah. The one of the Rishoyim Gemurim is right away written and sealed for Misa. The ones in between are suspended. They're in suspended state from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur. And if during that time they're zoicha, then they do tshuva, they do more mice and tovim. Iyun Yaakov points out particularly if they do chesed with other people, which therefore causes Hashem to reciprocate with chesed towards them. So then nichtavu l'chaim, loy zochu, and if not, nichtavim l'misa. Which is why you have in Shulchan Aruch, a practical thing that comes out from that in the Shulchan Aruch, is that people are nizher to be, people try to improve in their maisim tovim throughout their aser simei tshuva. It mentions, for example, in Shulchan Aruch, even you have people who the rest of the year eat pas akum, eat pas palter, then on aser simei tshuva, they try to be careful with that. And similarly, with other kinds of things that a person might not be so careful with during the year, a person tries to improve in that from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur. You have, by the way, it's for an interesting thing as far as Kiddush Levana. Our minhag and the minhag of many other kahilas is to only do Kiddush Levana after Yom Kippur on the grounds of doing Aser Simei Tshuva. We're not in a happy frame of mind, and after all, to be mekabel pnei shchina, we should be, but they're actually minhagim that do the other way around. Fakir, do it during the Aser Simei Tshuva, if at all possible. That way, you have one extra schus coming into Yom Kippur. We started talking about on Thursday, what do we mean over here by the tzaddikim, beninim, and rishoyim? After all, you know, we see many times, and you know, we're saying over here that the tzaddikim are written for life, but l'maisa, we see that there are many tzaddikim who don't make it through the year, and vice versa, we see many rishoyim who do. So there's a lot of different explanations. Tosfos explains that we're talking about tzaddikim, that we're talking about chaya olam haba. So we're not talking about the Eibishter writing and signing and sealing them for Chaya Olam Hazeh. That is going to vary based on other factors, but rather Chaya Olam Haba. Then you have another explanation from the Ramban that we're not so much talking about tzaddikim as in like a Tanya tzaddik, or even like what the Velt thinks of as a tzaddik, like somebody who's free of Averus, but rather somebody who's tzaddik the dino you can have. The Alter Rebbe mentions on the second page of Tanya, you have a person who in and of himself, he's far from a tzaddik, but he's tzaddik the dino when it comes to the particular judgment, then he ends up coming out righteous from it. You even have the pasuk that says, v'noki v'tzaddik al taro, in Parshas Mishpatim, where Rashi mentions over there that, for example, you have a person who by rights should have been convicted by Beis Din, and for whatever reason, they ended up exonerating him, so he's not can tzaddik is nish, but he's far to noki, so therefore don't bring him back to Beis Din and rejudge him, and vice versa if they judged him guilty when really he's innocent. So we see a person can be called a tzaddik even though when he's only tzaddik bedina, he's only a tzaddik as far as what that one thing. So the Ramban says that's what we're talking about over here. Then you have an answer that the Rif talks about here at great length, which actually the Ravid said it long before him. Apparently the Rif did not have access to the Chiddushei HaRavid on this. Anyway, the gist of it is that you have the Gemara mentions in Yevamos Machloikus when the Pasuk says Es Misba Yamecha Amale, that we learned a few days ago that it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Amale Shneseim Shal Tzadikim Miyoyim Liyoyim, but primarily the Gemara says over there it means that Hashem has decided when a person is conceived, when a person is born, how many years he's going to live, and so you have Machloikus over there. Doesn't mean that's the expected amount, but Hashem could add more if he deserves it, or is it Fakir? That's going to be the maximum no matter what. But he can lose years from it if he doesn't deserve it. So following that, the Rif explains, and the Ravid explains at length, that what we're talking about over here is Hashem has decided that a person is going to live, let's say the Eibishter has decided in advance that a certain person is going to live to 80 years old. But now, this year, Hashem decides, well, does he deserve to make it to 80 after all, or should he be cut off before that because of the way he's been acting? And on the other hand, the Eibishter might decide that, no, you know what, because he has in fact been doing mice and at least some mice and tovim, or for whatever reason, or just because his time's not actually up yet, then therefore, no, he can still have he can still have this year. And therefore, so that's how you come about that you see that tzaddikim pass away during the year, and Rishoyim don't, because the tzaddikim, it'll be the one where their time that was originally given to them in Hashemayim is used up. And again, according to one man d'omer, there's no adding to it. That amount that they were given is the maximum, and that's that. So in short, you have different explanations of what we're dealing with over here. And then you also have explanations along the lines of that the chayim and the opposite that we're talking about over here can refer to yisurim. You can have a person, for example, that the Eibishter has decided that he needs eventually to have his place in Olam Haba. However, if he's done certain things that he shouldn't have, and if we don't clean them up in Olam Hazeh, then he's going to be lacking something in Olam Haba. So therefore, the Eibishter writes him down for the opposite. For the coming year, he's going to have yisurim, and that will help clean things up, and vice versa with the sefer chayim. So the Gemara says, "Omer Rabba Bahu, Rab Avin, my cross." What's a pasuk that expresses this idea? That we see all these three svarim. The pasuk says, "In Tilim, David says about his enemies, Yimachu Masefer Chayim, may they be erased from the book of the living. Vim Tzadikim Al Yukasevu, and they should not be written with the Tzadikim." So what's the double expression? When he says they should be erased from the sefer, means the sefer of the Rishoyim Gemurim, in other words, that they should just be, they shouldn't even need to be written in there, it's just they're goners, that's it. Hashem just shouldn't even need to judge them. When it says Chayim, Zesifran Shal Tzadikim, the word Chayim then refers to the Sefer of the Tzadikim, they shouldn't have the S'chus to be written in that. The Im Tzadikim, Al Yukasevu, Zesifran Shal Beinanim, and then the Sifran Shal Tzadikim, the Im Tzadikim, Al Yukasevu, refers to the Beinanim, which, by the way, one of the explanations, I forgot to mention, one of the explanations is that Bechlal, so you have, in other words, not just that tzaddik can mean tzaddik bedinoi and rosha means rosha bedinoi, but also you have the tzaddikim gemurim, of whom, after all, there are very few, and rishoyim gemurim, of whom there are also very few, and the vast majority of people fit into the status of benyamin. So therefore, so for that purpose, to that extent, they can be called tzaddikim, and therefore, that's David refers to that with by saying the sifran shal tzaddikim. So Maharsho, in fact, explains at some length over here that the tzaddikim and rishoyim we're talking about over here respectively. He says that tzaddik means he's basically a tzaddik, but he did something b'shoigig, after all, in tzaddik b'aretz, asher yasa tov v'lo yechta. So therefore, then there has to be written down something about that, and vice versa. The rishoyim, we're talking about the ones who are actually doing averis deliberately, and then the beinanim are the ones who are doing b'mezid, but not rebelling against Hashem. The Rishoyim would be the ones who are doing out of rebelliousness. The beinanim would be the ones who may even be doing b'mezid, but not out of rebelliousness. And then he goes on and explains. So with the tzaddik, we're saying no matter what the actual gzera is in terms of his physical living or dying, either way, it's for his chayus and olam hazeh, and the Rishoyim, vice versa. And then you have the beinanim, who were saying that Hashem waits from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur to see what's going to happen. If there's Zoicha, so they're written, he doesn't say, now Maharsha points out, it doesn't say by the Beinanim Nechtomim, it doesn't say that they're sealed, because he learns that eventually they are sealed, but only on Yom Kippur. So when he says Zochu Nichtav L'Chaim or Zochu Nichtav L'Misa, he learns that apparently they would eventually be sealed, but only on Yom Kippur, unlike the other groups who we said are sealed on Rosh Hashanah. We talked about on Thursday what Pnei Yeshua says on it, but actually he says no. We're going to talk about soon in the Gemara about how Hashem has rachmanus on certain people and mata klape chesed. Hashem inclines the scales towards chesed. One way of understanding is that's talking about the judgment on Rosh Hashanah, and therefore that, in other words, the beinanim, Hashem does tilt the scale towards chesed. But nevertheless, since chosama shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu emes, Hashem's seal is truth, and to judge him with chesed like that is not truth. Therefore, it can't say nechtomim on it, because that would contradict. Hashem can't sign something which is not absolutely emes, and if he judged such people with emes, then they'd be in trouble. So that's another reason why it doesn't say Nechtomim by the Beinanim. Anyway, Rav Nachman Yitzchok Omer Mehacha, and Maharsha, by the way, goes and then darshins several of the other psukim over there in that perek. The Maharsha likes to do that a lot of times when the Gemara will bring a pasuk about something, then Maharsha will explain the context of the few psukim before and after it, how those demonstrate that pasuk is talking about what the Gemara is darshining in connection with. Before you have the psukim, before the pasuk, Yimachu Masefer Chaim, you have Ki Atar Asher Kisa Radofu, the pasuk, David is saying, the one whom you hit, you Hashem hit a person because he's doing Averus, and they chased after him to try to make things worse. So meaning, in other words, that he's saying that you hit me with Yisurim for the things that I did amazing. They're trying to harass me even more. So they deserve to not even be treated as Beinanim anymore. Up until this point, they may have had Mechtes Choyos and Mechtes Avonos. Now count this towards them, that they're also harassing and persecuting me, and now they'll end up being like the other Rishoyim Gemorim. So the Pasuk Yimachum Sefer Chaim actually refers in context to such people. Rav Nachman Yitzchok says you have another pasuk where also we see about the three books from this week's parasha. Moshe asks after the Chet Ha'egel, "V'im ayin mecheni no mesifra chasha kasavta." If you don't forgive the Jewish people, erase me from your book that you wrote. Now we're all familiar with that. It means that Moshe is asking to be erased from the Torah, and in fact his name is missing in last week's parasha, and we have a famous sicha about it where the Rebbe talks about that Moshe was willing to give up his atzmus for the sake of the Jewish people. But here Rav Nachman Yitzchok is taking the word sifracha and many of the mafoshim on the pasuk also do to mean these books, that so to speak, the metaphorical books in which Hashem writes down people, in which Hashem writes down people's ma'asim and their verdicts. So Mecheni Na is a Sifran Shor Shoyim Gemorim. So when Moshe is saying erase me, he means I shouldn't even be in the sefer of the Roshoyim Gemorim, if you don't forgive the Jewish people. Misifracha is a Sifran Shor Tzadikim Gemorim. Your book, like the one that you have the greatest interest in, is the one of the Tzadikim Gemorim. Asher Kosavta, which you have written, is a Sifran Shor Beinanim. That refers to the one of the Beinanim, which is only written at the beginning and not yet sealed, unlike the other ones. So again, Moshe is asking, according to that Hashem should erase him from all three books, meaning that he's not going to continue living, Parshat, if he doesn't forgive the Jewish people.
All three, only one.
So he's saying all three. That's why that Rav Nachman Yitzchok is saying you have all three Sforim hinted at in that pasuk. The same way as the pasuk in Tillim hints at all three Sforim. The same way Rav Nachman Yitzchok is saying Moshe's words, "Vim ayin mechenin o mesifra chasher kasavda," also refers to all three svarim. The Gemara continues. Tanya beshama omim gimel kittes hein liyemadin. There are three groups of people. There are three groups of people when we come to the Yom HaDin. Now Tosfos explains that Yom HaDin over here, Rashi and Tosfos both explain it means by tchias amesim. Meaning, in other words, that it comes out, and the Ramban explains this in particular in a sefer called Shaar Agmul, a person is judged three different times. You have a person is judged every Rosh Hashanah, and to a certain extent, as we learned before, every day. Then you have a person is judged after 120, when their neshama goes up. And then a third time, they're judged La'osid Lavay by Tchias HaMeisim. They bring up the question, so what's the purpose of the third one, if after all, the second one already covered everything during his lifetime. So there's a number of different answers. One of them being that often you have the effect of what a person did during his life continues after he passed away. So therefore, that has to be factored in as well. You take, for example, the Gemara is going to give later on an example of Yeravam ben Nevat. What he did wrong lasted for hundreds of years after him, and to a certain extent, it has an effect even now, the fact that there was a golus because of him. On the other hand, you take, let's say, a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu or any of the other great tzaddikim in history, down to and including the Rebbe and others, that you consider that long after they're not in Olam Hazeh Hagashmi, you still have that their effect still continues positively, and that has to be factored in when it comes to Tchias HaMeisim. Anyway, so Beshama is saying that L'Yom HaDin. What? Ben Mizak, Bro Mizak Abba, you have the father, son can be giving schusim to the father, you have a Talmud can be giving schusim to his Rebbe, you have all kinds, and then you have, yeah, you can have a person can be a Talmud hundreds of years later and he still has an effect, yeah. Think of it, you know, we still all learn the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu. So Moshe Rabbeinu has been, it's 3,000 and some years that he's gone, and still he keeps on accruing schusim every time that we learn the Torah that he brought to us. So yeah. Okay. So Beshamayim of Gimel Kittes Heim L'Yom HaDin. When it comes to that Yom HaDin, then there's going to be three groups. Echad Shal Tzadikim Gmurim, Ve'echad Shal Beinanim, Ve'echad Shal Rishayim Gmurim. The same three groups that we said before. So actually, Maharal Shor says that it's not really exactly the same thing, because again, before we were talking about the judgment on every year, Rosh Hashanah, here we're talking about the judgment by Tchias HaMesim. So before, the judgment, in other words, was, is he going to live in Olam Hazah this year, or is he just going to live in Olam in Olam Haba in Gan Eden? Here we're talking about it's too late for them to get any more schosim. Misha torach be'erev Shabbos, yoicha b'Shabbos. So at this point, we're talking about it's too late for them to accrue any more schosim. Therefore, that's why we're going to say that the Beinanim are going to have to spend a short period of time in Gehenna. Unlike we're saying, in other words, but when it comes to the annual judgment on Rosh Hashanah, a person can clean himself up between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. But once it comes to Tchias HaMesim, then as the Pasuk says, as it says in Masechta Shabbos, the Giyus Shonim, years are going to come, Asher Tomar, when you're going to say, Ein li bahem chayfetz, I have no desire in those years anymore. And the Gemara says that refers to the Asid Lavoi, because at that point, it's too late to do mitzvahs anymore. So the Shama continues. So the tzaddikim then are written and sealed right away for Chaya Olam Haba. Which, by the way, what we mean by Olam Haba is itself a whole discussion among the Rishonim, which we've touched on before in this shir. You have the opinion of the Rambam that there's Tchias HaMesim, and then after that, eventually everybody's going to die, and there's a world of only Neshamas. You have the opinion of the Ramban that says that no, after Tchias HaMesim, people will continue to live forever, and their gufim will be on a higher ruchniastic level so that they won't need to eat and drink. Chasidus agrees with that one. Anyway, so tzaddikim and gemurim are going to be judged for that. They're going to be written and sealed immediately for Gehenna. Rashi, by the way, points out Rishoyim Gmurim means Rubam Avonis. They have mostly Averis. So we're not even talking about that they're 100% Rishoyim, but apparently the fact that they're, according to Rashi at least, the fact that they're mostly Averis is enough to consign them right away to Gehenna. And Maharal Shor says, as the Gemara is going to go on to say, within them you do have a difference. Some of them are eventually going to come out of that and have Tchias HaMesim, and others of them are going to remain in Gehenna much longer term. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, "V'rabim mishene admas ofer yokitzu." Many of those who are lying and sleeping in the dust of the earth, are going to wake up by Tchias HaMesim. Eila v'chaya olam. These, meaning the tzaddikim, are going to wake up for eternal life. The eila and these, the rishoyim, l'charofis, will be for humiliation. L'diran olam, for eternal disgust. People are going to look at them constantly and be disgusted by what happened to them. Meanwhile, Beinanim yodim leGehenim, the Beinanim go down to Gehenim, or mitzafzefin, and they cry out there from the Yisurim for a short amount of time, va'olim, and then they come out of Gehenim. So they needed to go into Gehenim for a short period of time to clean up their averus, but then they're brought out of it. That's how Rashi explains that mitzafzefin means they cry there because of their Yisurim. However, Maharal Shor says no. Mitzafzefin means they praise Hashem. They while they're in Gehenna, then now they realize the emes, because that's a lot of what Gehenna is that a person's averus are burned off and their nefesh elikis shines forth and they realize what the emes is. So therefore, they praise Hashem, and then Hashem takes them out of Gehenna and they've accomplished what they need to. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Ve'evesius Ashlishus Ba'esh Vavemer. Hashem says, I'll bring the third group into fire, and that third group, we're understanding, it means the Beinanim. You have the Tzaddikim, the Rishoyim, and then you have the Beinanim. So no, we're not necessarily talking about Beinanim according to Tanya, but Pashtos, the same way as Rashi had said, Rishoyim Gmurim means Rubam Avonis, the Beinanim, but Pashtos, then according to that, would be the ones who are half and half. With that said, again, the Gemara is going to bring further on, the Gemara is going to bring a distinction within Beinanim themselves. It depends what type of Averis they have that are their half Averis. The Gemara is going to make distinctions further on. So Vayvesei Sashlushes Be'esh V'Gomer. Hashem says, I'll bring the third group into fire, and Hashem says, I'll refine them like you refine silver and gold. And then he continues, Hu Yikra V'Shmi, he, meaning that group, will call out in my name, V'Ani Ena Oisei, and Hashem says, I will respond to them. So therefore, they're the ones who, according to Rashi, they're crying out from their Yisurim in Gehenim, and that accomplishes the cleaning up that they needed, and now Hashem can take them out of Gehenim, and they can enjoy Chaya Olam Haba. And according to Maharal Shor, the vote is that they're singing to Hashem there in Gehenim, realizing that everything Hashem is doing to them is just and is fair, and then Hashem brings them out of that. So that's that third group. Valeim Omrachana Chana in her tefillah after Shmuel Anovi was born, she says on them, Hashem Memesumachayev Gomer, Hashem kills and brings alive, and then she continues, murdered Sha'ol Vayoal, Hashem brings people down into Sha'ol, which is one of the names of Gehenna, and brings them up. So we see that there are people who are brought down into Gehenna and brought up. And since she mentions Hashem Memesumachayev, then we understand that this is taking place at the time of Tchias HaMeisim. So she's saying that there are such people, says Beis Shammai, that at the time of Tchias HaMeisim, they're going to have to undergo a spell in Gehenna. So that's all according to Beis Shammai. Or Beis Hillel, I mean, now Beis Hillel disagrees, and they say no. When the pasuk says V'rav Chesed, one of the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachmim in this week's parasha is V'rav Chesed, that Hashem is abundant in kindness. That means Mata Klape Chesed. Hashem tilts the scale towards Chesed. So the person is half and half. Hashem tilts the scale towards the side of Chesed, and therefore they get judged as tzaddikim, and therefore they don't need to go down into Gehenna. Valeim Omar David. In fact, on them says Beis Hillel, David HaMelech said the Pesukim in Tehillim, or Havti ki Yishma Hashem es Koli. I love when Hashem listens to my voice. Valeim Nemra Kol Parsha Kula. And on such people, it says that entire parasha where it continues. For example, it continues with the words Daloisi Veli Yehoshia. Of Daloisi, I was poor. I was too. I didn't have enough mitzvahs, and yet Veli Yehoshia, and yet Hashem saved me by having Rachmanus on me. By Mata Klapa Chesed. Tosfos said, that's Tosfos' first explanation. Tosfos' second explanation, the word Daloisi can also be Miloshin Doloi Dolo, like to draw water from a deep pit. So therefore, so Daloisi, I need to be schlepped out from the deep pit. V'li Yehoshia and Hashem saved. Tosfos continues. You have the next part, the Pesukim after that, continue. Shuvi nafshilim nechoichi, as an ashalach lifne Hashem, ba'artes hachayim. So all of that is talking about the kindness that Hashem does to them. Shuvi nafshilim nechoichi, my neshama, return to your rest, ki Hashem goma aloichi, because Hashem did you an enormous favor, namely, that's Basil was saying, the enormous favor, that the goma aloichi is that Hashem tilted the scale towards Schus on their behalf. And therefore, ashalach lifne Hashem, ba'artes hachayim, now we're saying, now such people are able to say, I'll walk before Hashem in the lands of the living, meaning in Gan Eden, meaning in Olam Haba. Maharsho says that actually Maharsho explains differently than Tosfos. He says no. First of all, Tosfos is saying Va'aleim Omar David is referring specifically to the Benim, according to the Sillo. Maharsho says no. Va'aleim actually refers to all three groups: the Benim and the Rishonim Gmurim and the Tzaddikim Gmurim. So it starts off with the Benim. Ahavti ki Yishma Hashem Kol Tachnunai doesn't just mean I love it. If that were the case, it would say Ritzoni, I desire that Hashem should listen to my tefillah, or something like that. Ahavti means I am beloved by Hashem when I daven derech Tachnunim, when I daven to Hashem in a sincere way, where I'm pleading with Hashem, then Hashem answers Kol Tachnunai, and Hashem shows with that Ahavti that I am beloved by Him. And he continues, and he goes through and douchens in the psukim over there. Kehita oznoi li, Hashem, so to speak, inclined his ear to me because I'm only whispering my tefillah as you're supposed to. So like Hashem, so to speak, has to bend his ear to hear it. Over yomai ekra, and I call out during the specific days, during the Aseres Yimei Teshuva. Afafuni chevle mavis, and here I have a benini, and I would deserve as a mazid to be suffering all kinds of yisurim, and because of that, sort of a yogan emtsa. But I'm actually happy, he says, emsa means I find them, meaning I appreciate them because I realize that these yisurim are cleaning up my aveiros. Over shem Hashem ekra, and then I'm calling out to Hashem, and then we have that Hashem saves them, and as it says, daloisi v'li yoshia. Then he goes on to say that then tzaddikim are represented with the words of Hashem, Hashem Ekra, means that I'm called by the name of Hashem, refers to the tzaddikim, where they act in the way that Hashem does, mahu rachum, mafata rachum, and the rest of those midas. So therefore, they are called after the name of Hashem, and therefore they, such people can say, on Hashem malter nafshi, save my neshama, and chanan Hashem betzadik, and Hashem has rachmanus on them, and says that, and then, and sure enough, and saves them, and gives them chaya olam haba. And then he goes on and explains, and then he explains each of the psukim over there, how we see there are psukim over there that refer to the Beinanim. Then you have psukim that refer to the tzaddikim, shuvi nashalom nechoichi, and then you have you eventually get to the Rishoyim. Hemanti ki adaber. I believed in Hashem when I speak on Neonisima Oid. I believe that there's going to be an Aotis Achaim, that there's going to be a Tchias Anesim. Meanwhile, the Rishoyim deny that. And on Neomauti Bechofsi, Kola Odom, on Neomauti Bechofsi, I thought in my haste, you know what, everybody's going to be Zoycha to Olam Abba. Then I realized, no, Kola Odom Kozim, Koisro Yashlem Chalik Olam Abba, but not Kol Odom, not Kol HaOdom, not all people. So he explains how that whole half of the capital refers to everything that we're saying in the Gemara over here about the Tzaddikim and Beinanim and Rishoyim and what happens to them when it comes to the judgment loss of love. Continues the Gemara. Poshi Yisrob Gufan. Now, you have Jews who committed Averis with their bodies, which we'll learn later on, is a kakaftad lemanach tefillin, a person who did not wear tefillin. So it's called, Marsha explains, they're called Poshi Yisrob Gufan because it means that they failed to keep a guf noki and therefore they weren't wearing tefillin. The point is that the tefillin represents that a person is connecting his ruach and his neshama together. So now what happens is the ruach is lower, the neshama is higher, so the neshama is able to elevate the ruach, and therefore the person has nefesh, ruach, and neshama. The neshama, which is the highest of those three, is able to elevate the lower levels that's represented by wearing tefillin, so therefore the person is able to come to chaya and mabah, whereas if he doesn't do that, then you have the other way around, it gets schlepped down. So poshi yisrob gufon or poshi akum gufon, as well as goyim who committed averus with their bodies, which the Gemara defines later on means ones who committed znus, yodin the gehenim, such people go down to gehenim, v'nidonin the gehenim, and they're judged there in gehenim, v'nidonin by yudbeis chodesh, they're judged in gehenim for 12 months. In general, 12 months is the maximum amount of time in general that an neshama spends in gehenim. We know we have a halacha that comes from that. We have the minhag that you only say hare kaparin kaparas mishkova after a parent or a rebbe for 12 months. But second of all, that you only say kaddish for 11 months, and our minhag is even one day less than the 11 months. So you're not acting as though your parent was a rosha. I believe there are, by the way, poskim who've said that if a person's parent was a Rosh Mefursim, then they should indeed say Kaddish for them the entire 12 months. But it's obviously not a very widespread thing. B'derech klal, I mean, even we're talking about kakafta, leimanach tefillin, you have nowadays, with the whole concept of nowadays, that you have most people, if not all people in that category, are tenokas shenishbu, then of course it's a whole different ball game than what we're talking about in the Gemara over here.
Just one day, or
no, so actually we'll talk about that tomorrow, Best Hashem, because I don't think we're going to get to that piece today, but there are different mefoshim on it, whether it means that he never wore tefillin or whether it means that, yeah, he missed it sometimes. We all know in Lubavitch jargon, you have the word kakafta as comes to mean somebody who never put on tefillin. That's following the mefoshim who learn it that way. But we'll talk about tomorrow, Best Hashem, that there are mefoshim who learn that it means that if he missed it sometimes. Yeah. Anyway. So la'acha yud beis chodesh, after 12 months, gufan kola, their body is used up, their body is destroyed, v'nishmasan nisrefes, and their neshama is burnt. Now, usually a neshama is a ruchniyistika thing. How is it possible to burn it? But so Marsha says that actually we're referring to the body over here. So when we say gufan kola and then nisrefes, we mean that the body is going to be burnt and is going to be destroyed and burnt, not the neshama, because the neshama is a chelak of the kami ma'amam, she can't really be burnt. The ruach mefazartan, a wind scatters them. The nasim efer tachas kapis raglei tzaddikim, they become ashes under the feet of the tzaddikim. Shenemar, as the pasuk says. As the pasuk says, va'asoisim rishoyim, the Navi says to the tzaddikim, you will trample the rishoyim, ki yu efer tachas kapas regleichem, they will be ashes under the soles of your feet. So one idea is, in other words, that there's an explanation that's brought in from one of the Talmidim of the Arizal that says the vort is, in other words, so the tzaddikim metaphorically are going to be standing on the ashes of the Rishoyim. Now, when you stand on something, it makes you higher, makes you taller. So that represents, in other words, the Rishoyim are not complete goners, that they still have some connection with the tzaddikim, in the sense that the tzaddikim are able to become elevated through what happened to the Rishoyim, and therefore that itself gives a certain schus to the Rishoyim that therefore they're not complete, therefore they're not complete goners, especially put together with what Maharsha says over here, that their neshamas are b'chalal not destroyed, only their bodies. This is, we're talking about the time of Tchias Amesim, yeah. So that's what I'm saying. According to the Rambam, there's a everybody agrees that Tchias Amesim. It's one of the basic things of Yiddishkeit. But the Rambam holds that Tchias Amesim is not the last stage. After him, there comes a point when everybody dies, and there's a world eventually of only neshamas. But even according to him, there's a Tchias Amesim before that, and that would be when this kind of thing is taking place. We mentioned, by the way, in this shiur before, a letter that the Rebbe wrote in Tufshin Gimel or Tufshin Dalad to a chassid in Newark, Reb David Stockhammer. He was one of the early supporters of the yeshiva in Newark, which is now the yeshiva in Morristown. His daughter was married Mentlik, and then Katz, and I forget who the third one was, Ziskin, whatever. He was a chassid at the time. So at one point there was published a maimer from the Friedrich Rebbe that talked about Kol Yisrael Yeshlem Chelk Lamaba without exception. Even though on the face of it, the Mishnah there in Sanhedrin mentions various exceptions, and this Reb David wrote to our Rebbe asking for clarification. What happens to what we're going to say in the Gemara over here, that there are people who are judged in Gehenim L'dorei Dorot? What about it says over there, and gives a whole list, and the Rebbe replies back with a letter saying, essentially, that when you consider all of the different exceptions that the Gemara carves out for it, then you find really it comes out that literally lo yudach menu nidach. You have a person, like we said before, for example, like you said, you have a person whose children give him a schus that he didn't accomplish during his lifetime. You have, it can be his talmidim, it can be even somebody who had no direct connection with him, but is somehow mushba from him, or somehow takes him under his wing and then takes responsibility for him. The Rebbe gives an example over there of Rabbi Yochanan taking responsibility for the neshama of Acher, which we'll get to eventually when we get to and we'll talk about that, for example. Then you have, even if not, you can have this gilgulim. So the neshama can be nisgaugul again, and therefore it can correct what it messed up the first time. So therefore, ultimately, you may have, and there may be in some extreme examples, you may have where the goof has been so corrupted that particular goof can't come back in Tchias Amesim, but nevertheless, the neshama is still there, and the neshama will come into another goof, and then that will come alive at Tchias Amesim. So basically, you look at that letter over there, the Rebbe's not giving up on anything. Anyway, getting back to the Gemara, avolat tzedukim, but tzedukim, or this is really a censor's change, it's really supposed to be minim, where minim is, there's different definitions Tosfos refers to. There's a Gemara elsewhere that discusses what exactly is the definition of a min, but in any case, the Rambam defines it as it includes a person who has any of various wrong beliefs about the Eibishter himself. So a person, for example, who believes that there's no God, or that there's two gods, or that he has a body, et cetera, all those are in the category of minim. V'hamasoris la'anosim, people who maser on Jews, on their mammon, or on their body. La'anosim is, again, it's changed from the censor. Masoris just means people who maser on Jews to goyim. There is, of course, a good deal of discussion in Sifrei Halacha, in contemporary poskim, about what are the parameters of it nowadays, especially when nowadays we live for the most part under democratic governments, and it's not like in the olden days when they just judged people however they felt like, and when a person is a danger to the community, and so on and so forth. So a lot of ink has been spilled on when it's allowed and when it's not allowed. But in any case, there is a concept of a moser, or moser really is how the Gemara calls it, where he masers on another yid inappropriately, and then the Gemara is going to say that he gets a very severe punishment. This is actually going to be discussed in Daf Yomi in a couple of days, Bes Hashem. Anyway, so then, v'ham mumrim la'avodizara, and when mumrim, again, la'avodizara is a change from the censor, it means people who converted to another religion, Rahman al-Islam, or are worshipping avodizara, v'hapikursim, so we had the apikursim, which the Rambam defines apikursim as people who don't believe in one of the other basic things of Yiddishkeit. So for example, a person who believes the Torah wasn't given by Hashem, or that Moshe made up parts of it on his own, or whatever, would be in the category of an apikoros. What? Rashi says mevazet amir chacham, which is another definition that the Gemara brings in the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The shakofu b'Torah, people who deny the Torah, for example, they say, Rashi says that they say ein Torah min hashamayim. In fact, Maharsha brings from that Gemara in Sanhedrin that says, even if a person says all of it is Minashamayim, except for one pasuk, is also in the category of Kofrim Batora. So then, Veshakofru B'Tchias HaNesim, people who deny Tchias HaNesim, and by the way, Rashi in Sanhedrin mentions over there, it's not enough that a person believes in Tchias HaNesim, he has to believe that Tchias HaNesim is in Torah Shebichsav, which the Gemara there at the beginning of Perek Chelek brings a whole bunch of proofs from the Torah for the concept of Tchias HaNesim. So Rashi over there actually says that if a person believes in Tchias HaNesim, but he doesn't believe that it's in Torah Shebichsav, would also be in the category of Kofru B'Tchias HaNesim, although, worth mentioning, the Be'er Sheva says over there that that's not necessarily so, and he says that Pirush may not even be from Rashi at all. So whether if a person believes in Tchias HaMesim, but he doesn't believe that it's in Torah Shebichsav, does that put him in his category? In that category depends whether you follow the Be'er Sheva or not. Anyway, then you have people who separated themselves from the way of the Tzibur. Now, Rashi takes out those words because he says all of the ones we mentioned so far are Pirshim Midachet Tzibur. They're all separating themselves from the way of Jews. Jews believe in the Torah. This guy does not. Jews don't maser on other Jews where they're not, so where it's not a clear and present danger, for example, and these guys are, and so forth. So there's no reason to mention Pirshim Midachet Tzibur separately. On the other hand, most Rishonim do have the Girsa, and the Rambam, for example, defines Pirshim Midachet Tzibur. We're talking about a person who believes in the whole Torah and everything. But when it comes, for example, a Tzara on the Tzibur, he says, okay, it's none of my business. They can be fasting and davening and whatever for it, and I'll just go my merry way, and I'm not worried about it. That would be an example. That would be what means over here, according to the Rambam, Pirshim Midachet Tzibur. Anyway, and people who put their fear in the land of the living, it's an expression taken from a pasuk in Yechezkel. Later on, the Gemara defines that it means that they lord it over the tzibur, shaloi l'shem shemayim. So you have a parnas, you have a somebody in charge, you have a leader of the community. Sometimes he has to treat them very harshly because he's doing it l'shem shamayim in order to make sure that people are not getting away with things they shouldn't. But sometimes he's doing it just for his own cover. That's what we mean over here by p'chnosnu chitisim be'eretz achayim. The expression is taken, you have Pesukim and Yechezkel that talk about various Goyish nations who sent marauding armies into Eretz Yisrael to terrorize everyone. So that's the original context of the pasuk. But here the Gemara is going to explain again. It means matol emi yisera shaloi l'shem shemayim. Anyway, v'shachotu v'shechtiu asarabim, also people who are chotu machti asarabim kegoin Yerovam and Nevot v'chaberav, for example, Yerovam and Nevot and other people like him, all of those groups, which Maharsha, by the way, says, you know, they're in the category of mumurim l'avodah zarah as well. They also worship l'avodah zarah. But in other words, they get a double whammy of it because they were both over l'avodah zarah on their own and they were chotu machti asarabim. So all of those, Yod and the Gehenim, such people go down to Gehenim, v'nidonin b'l'dode dodes, and they're judged in Gehenim for generations upon generations. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, at the end of Yeshaya, we have it in Haftarah of Shabbos or Shchodesh, the Yotzu V'ro, people at the time of the third Beis HaMikdash, will go out, which is after Tchias HaMesim, will go out and see, b'frigrei ha'noshim ha'poshim v'gomer, they're going to see the carcasses, the dead bodies of the people who rebelled against Hashem. And as the pasuk says, "Telatam loisomus ve'isham loisichbe." So Gehenim kol v'heim enim kolim. Even Gehenim will come to an end, and their punishment will still not come to an end. So Shenema, as the pasuk says, "Vitzuram levalis shoel mizvul loy." Their form, Maloshan Tzura, levalis shoel will wear out. In other words, will outlast Gehenim mizvul loy because of the zvul, because of the dwelling place of Hashem. Now, Maharsha wonders, how is that possible? If Gehenim is kola, then how are they nidun in the Dura Duris? Where are they afterwards if Gehenim is gone? There's a number of answers on that. Yad Yosef brings over here an answer that based on the Gemara, based on the famous Gemara that HaKadosh Baruch Hu motzi chamim minautika, so therefore, so even after there's no more Gehenim, then still they'll be burnt by the intense heat of the sun where that'll be there without a shield. The Aruch HaNeir gives a different answer. He says there won't be a Gehenim for them to be punished in, but they're still going to be. They're going to have the constant embarrassment that the tzaddikim are getting their reward, and they're standing by the side and not, and that's going to last, that's going to even outlast Gehenim, the Gemara is saying. So v'chol kach lama, and why are they going to be punished so severely? L'fisha poshtu yadeim b'zvul, because they stretched out their hand against the zvul. Shenemah mizvul loy, as the pasuk says, from the zvul of his. Ve'ein zvul al the beis hamikdash. The word zvul means the dwelling place of Hashem, meaning the beis hamikdash. Shenemah, as David says, as Shlomo rather says, when he's dedicating the beis hamikdash, bonid bonisi beis zvul loch v'gomer Hashem, I made you a beis zvul. So we see the word zvul means the beis hamikdash. So here we're talking about all these groups that we talked about before. They caused the beis hamikdash to be destroyed through their aveiros, Rashi says. And Marsha adds that so you have the ones from the first Beis Hamikdash, for example, the ones who worship Avodah Zarah and Kofar in the Torah. You have the Masorim and the other one who were involved in the Churban Bayis Sheni, an example being Bar Kamsa. And then also the Aruch HaNer adds, you have the famous thing that it says, Kol Mishaloi Nivne Beis Hamikdash B'yamav, Ki the Nechra B'yamav, a person that the Beis Hamikdash wasn't built in his time. It's considered as if he's destroyed in his times. So therefore, people who do these things, then it can be considered that they're causing the Beis Hamikdash to remain destroyed. And therefore, the Gemara is going to say, therefore, that's why the Gemara is saying that they're getting such a severe punishment. But nevertheless, we're still saying, as the Gemara is going to go on to say, as we'll learn tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, that even for them, there is maybe a way out. And Befrat, what we were bringing from the Rebbe before in that letter, that even such people, maybe there is eventually, the Ebishter arranges, Lo Yudach Men or Nidach, that somehow or other, there is a source that can be found even for them. That's the thing. So the Aruch HaNer makes the point that if now the Beis Hamikdash is being built, it's as if it's being destroyed right now, and therefore, so people do this that are causing the Beis Hamikdash, preventing it from being built, then. Okay, Yom Yom Mashiach Ge'ula. What is today? Today is Tazayin Adar Aleph, yeah. La'asid lavo, the Yetzirah is going to be bottled, as we know it says, V'asiruach ha'tumah avim in ha'aretz, and the glory of Hashem is going to be revealed in the whole world, to the point where, as the Medrash says, you're going to have, for example, a fig tree is going to scream out on Shabbos, don't pick for me. So therefore, at a time like that, it's going to be impossible for there to be an Aveda, even B'shogeg, the same way as a baby, even a baby won't stick his hand into a fire, or an animal that has no das at all won't jump into a fire, the same way it'll be so obvious that an Aveda is like that, so the person will almost naturally, almost instinctively stay away from it. Okay, continuing with halachas of Shabbos. Sometimes you have food where you can't eat it unless you wash it or rinse it off. So then the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says you would be also to do that on Shabbos, even in cold water, not a matter of cooking, but it's a matter of pairing it. On the other hand, the Alter Rebbe holds that it would be mutter. Now, for example, a herring, he says you would be allowed to, sometimes you have a herring that's too salty and you can't eat it, that you can soak it in cold water because you could eat it before that. Some people will eat the herring even with all the salt, so therefore it's not like you're being misaken something that was completely inedible before that. Then he continues, for example, you have various kinds of dips where you need to put vinegar in them. So then if you're going to put vinegar in them on Shabbos, you have to do it with a shinui. For example, first you put in the vinegar and then you put in the horseradish or the mustard or whatever it is. And then you also have to make it a very thin mixture and not mix it with a spoon, only mix it with your finger or shake the container. All of that is in order to make a shinui so that you're not making it the way that you would do it on a regular day.